Welcome to the newest episode of the R-Beats Original Podcast, where we dive into hashtag local music somewhere and current topics interesting to any kind of creative mind listening.
It's a whole little...
It is a game, and it's a puzzle, but you got to keep up with the puzzle. And, you know, that's why I applaud you and what you're doing, because, you know, you have your office space here. You have a place where you're going to do it, and, you know, you're putting the energy and the effort into it, and that's what it takes. Anybody who does content, you can't just be willy-nilly about it. You got to be devoted to it. You can go get yourself your part-time job. You can go get yourself a full-time job while you're looking for something in the industry. But if you want to be part of this content world community, you have to treat it like a full-time job, and you have to, you know, always be on top of whatever type of content you're putting out.
Jim Robinson's our guest this morning, and we've been talking about the content and the way it's changed. And Jim knows a lot about that. He's president and CEO, I think, of the CSB Media Arts Center. We have campuses.
Yeah, I guess I'm president, president of CSB. Not this part, so this part.
he still lives to Connecticut School of Broadcasting, it used to be called. We have five campuses up and down the East Coast. And we were talking to Jim earlier. Jim, we were talking about AI. I mean, you and I have been working here forever, and we actually started before the internet came out, or as it was coming out.
Right.
I remember a funny story you told me, if you want to repeat it, about you pitching a web page to your dad. Do you remember that?
Yeah. So when we first, when the internet was being born, I was working for a company. It was my second job after graduating Connecticut School of Broadcasting. It was with McGraw-Hill Publications, and McGraw-Hill Publications was in the game of taking all their book content and classifying it, making it ready to go on the internet, this thing called the internet. And I said to my dad, I said, before too much time goes by, we got to get CSB.com. And he goes, oh, we can't do CSB because CBS is going to, send a cease and desist and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, it doesn't matter, Dad. Just get CSB.com. And he didn't want to do it. He didn't understand what the internet was going to be. He didn't understand what, this whole world was turning into.
Many of us didn't at the time.
But it was fascinating. And it was every job that I've had along the way, number one, my word of advice to any graduate or any person who's out there listening to this podcast is if you're working somewhere, there's a monetary reason to work there, but there's also the education of working at a place. You know, we at CSB, we give you a foundation, and that foundation is what you're going to build your life off of. And every day you're out there working in this industry, you should be learning and building and growing and adapting to the new types of stuff that are going on. Again, we're the foundation, but you're just going to kind of keep building off of that. And when you're not learning anymore, yeah, there's a monetary side of it, but if you're not learning, that's your cue to move on, you know? And that was the thing with the internet, the internet was starting to grow, and I came into a company called McGraw-Hill Publications at the right time. And it was a great place for me to keep learning and learning. I could have gone to work for ESPN. Those were the two job offers that I had. And I went to McGraw-Hill because I was fascinated with the possibilities of what I would actually learn there. And so I took that one. And the whole world, the birth of the internet, and what the internet has become, which is both good and bad.
That was 30 years ago.
I know.
And we fast forward to today. And here we are now with AI and chatbot.
That's even a long fast forward. It's even a long, you going to be on mic there, buddy? All right.
I'm looking up Nutty Buddy right now.
Yeah.
So now.
I'm going to be friends.
So now we fast forward 30 years, and AI and chatbot is all everybody's talking about. But, I'm somebody, I feel like you and I are the same positions we were in 30 years ago, in that you know a lot more about it than I do. I can sort of see the vision. I sort of saw the vision for the internet, but I couldn't figure out how do you make money on it? How do you monetize it? Are people really going to spend all day on their computer? I just didn't think, kind of like your dad, honestly, I didn't think people would do that. And I thought if they did, they would be techies, or they'd be IT guys, or somebody in that kind of world. But, to my surprise and delight, I guess, the whole world has become that. And the irony of us not wanting to be internet is now we teach digital social media, web development, code school, all the things that involve the internet, and of course, broadcasting, audio, radio, television, video, production, it all involves the internet. So now 30 years later, we're driving up here, and I was talking with you about AI. what is this? This is a whole new wrinkle. What is this going to do now?
Right. And nobody, you know, nobody exactly knows what it's going to do and what it's going to be. I think it's something that's developing. And I always kind of think to myself, you know, the way technology grows and adapts, you know, there's been many a times. I remember the DAW world. And you know what DAW is, right?
No.
No.
I don't remember that world.
The digital audio workstation.
Okay.
First digital audio workstation. And the broadcast industry went, what was that thing called? It was called Odyssey or something like that. And then there was a Roland 808.
Yep.
And everybody was saying, oh, you got to go Audacity or you got to go, not Audacity. It was, I forget the name of it, but there was a workstation, Orband workstation. Yep. Or you
shout
you
had out to go, Orband. We yeah, use Orband on.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, we have Orband.
I don't think
sound
it's
cards.
The same company though. Oh, it might be the
we,
same company.
We use their digital sound cards.
Yeah.
We did a hard one for it, but anyway. So
all
shout
right,
out to
cool.
Orband, yeah.
All right, there you go, Orband. Hello, Orband. So you could get an Orband workstation, or you could get a Roland workstation. And I thought to myself, I don't know if that's going to stick, you know? And so we waited and, you know, we were still in our, cutting things on reel to reel and cart machines and everything else. But then all of a sudden a platform came out called SAW. And SAW was the first digital audio workstation that we got at the store school, which was more of a computerized-based software. And I'm so happy we did that because Orban, that workstation that they had, not the sound cards you guys have, went dark. Nobody was using it anymore, and it became like Atari 5050s, a big weight machine, or the Roland 808. And then the world of the computerized workstation grew, and so we went through. SAW was the first one we had. Cool Edit was the second one we had, and then we grew into, obviously, Adobe Audition. And so, you know, even back then we didn't know. So you talk about AI today and what AI could become, you know, it's fascinating to think about and to think about all the different, you know, ways that it could go and whatever. But it's also how can we use it today, you know, and today, basically the way I look at AI today is it's more. Now, when I say today, this the date of today is what? May 19th. 2023. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So let's time mark this because, what's going to happen, you know? Yeah. I don't want to be, you know, somebody listening to this in 10 years and then be saying, well, this guy doesn't know what the heck he's talking about. AI took over the world and the robots are controlling the planets and we can't do anything anymore. It's Terminator all over the place. But anyway, the way we use AI today is more, I think, in a experience for the user. When they're searching out information and the way they're going to do that. I think it's going to be proven the way it's going to work with, you know, there's this slogan of fake news. You know, the internet is filled with fake news. I think what AI is going to do is be able to kind of break through that world and give us real news, you know?
How so, though? Because I was when it first came out, I remember watching on one of the channels and they said, who was the first female president of the United States? And AI said with this absolute definitiveness, the first president of the United States was Hillary Rodham Clinton. She beat Donald Trump in 2016, and she went on to do this.
But see, so then there's the scary side of AI. But and I'm not saying I'm not putting political stuff out there because, you know, I'm straight up the middle, you know. I'll go one way one time, another way another time. I'm more about the person, what they believe in, what I think that they can bring to this country. That is what I'm about.
But if you didn't know
non-binary.
Non-binary.
But if you didn't know anything about politics at all, and you're a young person or someone who never follows politics, and you ask these legitimate questions, and you get these answers that look so real that you think it is real.
So, but you know, all that kind of stuff can shape and you know move the way you think and ingest information. But I think with what AI can do is it's going to give you a better experience to what your interests lie in. I think that the world of gaming. For instance, I think it's already happening. I think it's going to happen very soon, more and more. But your experience of gaming is going to be more of what you want the game to be like because it's being built as you're playing it on a way of how you're working in the game, you know? And I think that side of it can be very exciting. It can be very scary, but it can be very exciting too, you know? And the internet, you know, there's a good side to the internet. There's a bad side to the internet. There's the bright side of the internet, and there's the dark side of the internet, you know? So you're always going to have that, and technology is technology, you know? So people are going to use it correct, and people are going to use it not so correct.
So you're in the education business, and there's been a lot of talk about students, and I know that at your school they don't do a lot of term papers or anything like that, but there's still a lot of components involving writing and editing and scripting, and, you know, film school has a whole, you know, a whole drafted film. And you could ask AI, you know, hey, write me a screenplay, and AI will write you a screenplay. How do you differentiate when something is done by a student and something is done by AI? And then more importantly, I guess, how do you use AI as a student or as a teacher to enhance the learning experience to the student?
Well, I mean, again, I think the way you can have AI, whatever, generate a script for you, you know, by plugging in information that you want it to do and everything else. And, you know, I think you could have a company now build a term paper for you for, you know, school that a teacher is not going to be able to say is been plagiarized, you know. All these types of things are out there. But if a student elects to use the technology and use it to build their script, then they're cheating themselves, you know? Mm-hmm. So basically that's the way that comes down to. So if you want to go through life cheating yourself and making life easy for you, you know, good luck when life gets hard. You know?
I 100% agree with you, because you know what? Let the electric get turned off for a day.
Right.
All your projects are going to be, you won't have them done.
Right.
You won't be able to get anything done. So
yeah.
You're so right.
Yeah. And I haven't seen an AI script per se. I've seen AI more for the production side of filmmaking, building schedules and manning that side of it. I haven't seen an actual script, so I don't know the emotion and the feeling that is coming out of those. But a lot of our students, when they're writing a script, you know, there's a lot of their own internal personal issues that come out in these scripts, you know, and I don't think AI is going to deep that, you know, with whatever you've put into their little, you know, questionnaire algorithm, whatever thing, it's not going to pull the genuine, you know, heart and soul out of you of what you want to do. I don't think. Again, I haven't used it. I haven't seen a script from it. But, you know, it's like, you know, them saying in 10 years you'll have AI creatures, people that are doing what we're doing right now. I don't know that they're going to get down in
humanoids.
Yeah. Humanoids, you know, and be able to speak like we are with the passion that we have and everything else. Maybe it will work. I don't know. But I still think that when you're physically writing something, it's going to be more real. It's going to have more feeling of what you want to do than somebody spitting something out at you. Now you can get the homework assignment done and say, all right, well, I'm done with my script in 5 minutes. That's great. What have you learned?
Right. So I'm going to play devil's advocate since you guys are on this side. And I'm not saying I agree with this side, but
wait a minute. 1 point us. 2 point us.
Well, wait. You might have to take that point away.
You're zero over there, John.
Okay, so here's going to give me 1 point.
All right, maybe.
I'm going to make the argument. When I was in school, my teachers would say you can't use a calculator in math class, and I would, you know, everybody would say why not? Because you're not going to always have a calculator in front of you. You're not going to learn math. Now, obviously, basic math and multiplication, and all that, but I'm talking to algebra and above. And I never understood why, you know, today we all carry calculators in our pocket on our phone. So you could make the argument that if I can ask somebody to do something, and maybe script writing is an art because it is more creative, and I'll get into that in 1 second, but if I can ask an inanimate object to do something that would take me, you know, a long time to learn, and it could put something out that may be different than what's in my thoughts, but also good. And I'm thinking today, those of you listening, it might be dated, but there's a writer's strike right now, right? And all these
right.
writers, and what the first thing that went through my mind is, wow, I wonder if television stations are going to ask AI to just write a script for this upcoming show. And so I asked Chatbot last week, I said, I think you were here, I said, write me a write me a one-page story about a bear and horse that fell in love. Stupid thing.
Yeah.
And it wrote this perfect, it just, you know, once there was this bear and it lived in the forest and this was horse. And it just, I don't know where it got all this information, but it wrote this really kind of stupid, but a fully balanced story about how the villagers came together and they couldn't believe that they could be, you know, a couple or whatever. And I was like, well, how the heck did it come up with, that came straight out of my head. And it came up with something that was not terrible. And that was without almost any input or feedback.
Right. But so, you're not passionate about screenwriting. You're not passionate about math. So you're going to use a calculator.
Right.
If you're an engineer and you're passionate about the science of math and everything else, I'm going to use a calculator too. But, you know, the person who's going to sit there and actually do the work to get it done is passionate about that. You know, mm-hmm. Yes, there's always going to be easy ways to get around what you need to do. You know, but if you go through life taking the easy road.
Yeah. Learning a discipline.
Yeah.
And learning it the hard way before you learn how to do it faster.
Yeah.
Will always get you where you need to go. Yeah. I mean, to learn things the fast way first and cut corners right out of the gate will never work in the long run. So,
yeah. And you can, like, but I can write an EDL, you know what an EDL is, right?
I don't know what it stands for.
Edit list. Oh. So if you're going to write an edit list, right? Another source or me four, all right? You got one over there. That's good. All right? So if you're going to write an EDL, because I did the DAW thing too, so
I
five.
Love you guys.
Okay. All right, so five me, one you. So if you're going to do, I don't know where I was going with this. If I'm going to do an EDL list, right? Mm-hmm. I can sit there and generate an EDL list and I can put it into a machine and say, all right, you know, machine, you know, AI, whatever you want to, you know, call it today, build my piece, you know, and it'll edit it and do it all and everything else. But there's not, you know, there's something to editing your piece together. Now it could work if it's 4 o'clock and you got a 5 o'clock deadline and you got to get it done and you just type in all the numbers and it spits it out for you and gives you your final piece, you know, but there's a reason why we as people like to edit. And I understand the AI world is supposed to take jobs away from, you know, it's like mechanics at a car store or a car place, you know, robotics and, you know, everything else has happened over these years that have taken away some of the jobs. But at the end of the day, you know, there's somebody who's, you know, hitting that car coming out the other end of the machine with a towel to make sure it's all, you know, good and give it its, you know, heart and soul test, you know? So
I feel like right now, at least, it's a great tool as a template.
Oh, yeah.
So for example, the State Board of Education asked us to write some kind of a statement of why, you know, why there should be a school around. And I kind of had my own answers, but I thought I'd ask AI.
Yeah.
And it's something we do every year. So it's a pretty easy thing to do, but AI gave the answers that were almost exactly the same thing on it. So all I did is take that template and just modify it to be our own and send that in. And it was pretty successful.
But you read through it. At least I hope you read through it. Because if you didn't read through it, then you just submitted what AI told you. But you ended up reading through it. And yes, it did save you the time of writing. I'm not a great writer, so I use those types of crutches myself. But at the end of the day, I still got to read through it and make sure it is what I am or saying. And did you have to change a word here or there? Or did you modify it in any way, or did you just take what it spit out and send it in?
No, of course there was. So a couple of things I noticed immediately was it was written in such a way that it was more geared for like a university.
Right.
So, you know, talk about campuses and growth and you know, students per thousand and all that. And of course, our school is much smaller, so we had to make some modifications here. But you know, it did say, you know, like you said, you know, garbage in, garbage out. You put into it. We're a small broadcasting school in Charlotte, North Carolina, who teaches film, television, web school, and so forth. And it just basically add those things in their own script. And then a lot of throw. What made me think about it is there's a lot of throwaway lines in there. You know, that you read, that we all write, like, you know, where our goal is to make sure that every student is well served and all the other stuff. And you realize, like, well, everyone. That's everyone's goal, I would think.
Right.
So you might as well just leave it out.
In the school business.
Yeah, yeah. So there's so much when people ask for, and then I thought of lawyers. You know, lawyers, make a lot of money taking a common sense contract and making it almost unillegible. You don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Right.
And if you ask AI to write me a legal, I ask AI, write me a legal contract about driving home from work and absolving me from liability, just something stupid like that. And it wrote this, you know, on this day, on this fourth day of May, where, you know, we take every precaution to make sure we obey every speed limit, and just name it, sort of made all this stuff up. And it just occurred, it seemed to me, and I'm sure it'll get a lot better, like the internet, that it reminds me of the friend we all have that just spouts a lot of BS.
Yeah. No, I'm all for technology, you know, and I love technology, and I love if you use it correctly, you know. But to me, there's other things in life that I'm not going to let technology do because I love it, you know. Yep. I can sit there and say, all right, I'm going to go DJ a prom, and I'm going to type in a song that somebody likes, and it's going to build a playlist around it, and I'm going to let it go. Well, that's fine. And you know what? Maybe they'll dance, and maybe they're going to have a good time and stuff like that. But I can judge the mood of a room, and I can judge how people are going. I can judge when they need a slow song. I'm there physically watching it. You know, Spotify is just Spotifying stuff out, you know, spitting stuff out. That's great. It's all wonderful. But to interact with people in a way that needs to be done for a DJ event at an event, you can tell when people are tapping their feet. You can tell if the music's not working. You can tell if, you know, whatever. And that's what changes. But I might take suggestions that Spotify's doing, telling me, because I don't know the music, or I'm not up on the latest trend of, you know, whatever the music's is.
Changes in 2 weeks.
Yeah, changes in 2 weeks, you know, and maybe I didn't, you know, educate myself. So I might look to it as suggestions, or I might look to a, you know, AI list of the top, you know, songs that kids dance to today, or whatever the case might be. But it's me that's going to generate that song out to the audience to make sure it's going to work and work correctly.
I'm going to switch topics a little bit. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about this. This is not a contest, Jim. Everything is not a contest. Oh, you took 1 point away?
Wait,
I just made it a contest again. So I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about
this.
They're
here.
Because you had this privilege.
Technology I have in front of me.
Jim has really bad ADD, by the way.
Yeah.
So do I. So do you. We all do. This is going to be the worst podcast. Okay, so.
I think it's the best podcast.
That's what makes it good. If you have ADD, you
can't. It's human. It's not a bunch of AIs. Talking to each other.
There's sentience here.
Yes.
You had the opportunity to be an audio video person for the Vatican. Is that right?
Well, not for the Vatican. I was at the Vatican and was doing work for the Archdiocese of Hartford Office of Radio and Television. And when I was at the Vatican, I was able to be in close proximity with the Pope to shoot. There's a term called... pallium, and a pallium is what an archbishop gets when they get ordained as an archbishop, and you get it from the Pope. So I was a person that was able to go to the Vatican and document those meetings.
Wow. You know,
so that was pretty cool.
Really cool.
Did you ever see the Pope Mobile?
I did see the Pope Mobile because what happened during that...
did he wear red shoes?
So he wore the Nike shoes. So if you remember I'll tell you. All right. So here's the story.
Good question. Woody.
So let's go back. All right. So I graduate Connecticut School of Broadcasting. All right. And my first job was with another person who graduated the school. His name was Father John Gadzak. Father John Gadzak graduated in 67, went on to the seminary, became a priest, and then ran the Office of Radio and Television of the Archdiocese of Hartford.
Wow.
I ended up working there. And now, earlier in this podcast, if you've been listening to this, I said that there is a monetary reason for your job and a learning experience for your job. I wasn't being paid a lot, but I was learning so much that I couldn't leave that job. I thought I was going to be there for 6 months. I ended up there for 4 years, you know, and I had to do other things to supplement my income, you know. So you talk about work ethic and passion. I was working around the clock just to make the money so I could live in an apartment, do what I wanted to do and everything else like that. But the learning that I was getting at that job was just intense. And it wasn't like it was great equipment. Some of it I was, you know, being held together by duct tape.
Wow.
But it was, you know, recording stuff and doing stuff and timelines and management and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And then, some new technologies came in and things like that. And when I was there, unfortunately, our Archbishop passed away, who was a great man, not a believer of media, and didn't like being on television and everything else. And I always remember when he passed, I had to document that he was passed. And so he was in a casket, and I knew, you know, lightning was going to strike because I'm sitting there with my camera filming him in the casket, you know, which was a very interesting thing to do. And just I'm like looking around, like waiting for lightning to strike me. And then the new Archbishop came in, who was a gentleman who really enjoyed media, and his name was Archbishop Cronin, or became Archbishop Cronin. He came from Fall River, Massachusetts. And so when he came in, he went to the Vatican to receive his pallium, and I went there to document it all with him. And while I was there, CNN was looking for videographers, editors, and people who knew satellite to and could be in close proximity to the Pope. My name was at the top of the list for security, so I got picked up by CNN to travel the world with the Pope to do World Youth Day masses. And
which
I covered
Pope? Which
Pope John Paul II.
Okay.
So there was a Sports Illustrated. So you talk about the red sneakers. So Sports Illustrated had the famous picture of the Pope in the woods of Denver, Colorado. I was standing right next to the guy who was taking that picture because I was a videographer. You talk about the Pope Mobile. I not only seen the Pope Mobile, but I've ridden on the Pope Mobile with the camera, shooting the camera in Denver, Colorado as he came out of three presidential helicopters. Those big president helicopters landed, and he was in one of them. And I had to cover him from the point he left the helicopter, came into his Pope Mobile, drove around. This field in Denver had 1.3 million people.
Wow.
That spent a weekend. They would just stand up and then they'd literally sit down, fall asleep in their spaces, wake back up. They had 10,000 priests lined up at a gate doing communion to all of these people. It was the most unbelievable thing I think I've ever witnessed in my life.
Do you think they have stuff like that in today's world?
All my first job from CSB.
How old were you at the time?
About
24.
Wow.
You know, by the time I
so you just peaked at 24.
Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah. My peak job was probably working with Paul Newman.
One for me.
Yeah, peak job. That was a good line.
You worked with Paul Newman?
Yeah, I was. Worked with him, Boggy Creek Organization, which was part hole in the wall gang camp. You know, you talk about monetary and learning. So I got paid in popcorn, Paul Newman popcorn, and but I was learning so much there. And to be able to have on my resume that I was not a personal photographer to him, but I did a lot of personal things with him.
Wow.
And it was probably one of the most rewarding jobs that I had. But I did that, you know, if he called, I would run, but I was working at McGraw-Hill Publications at the same time, so... Okay. That was my main full-time job.
And how was Paul? Is he a nice guy?
He was a great guy. Aww. He had the most insane Volvo. So if anybody remember him tooling around in Connecticut, either from Prospect down to, I think it was Prospect, down to his house in Westport, Greenwich area. He had this blue Volvo, and it was basically a racing car. He had a roll cage inside of it. I don't think it had a firewall in it. I don't think it had a firewall in it, and it just had a crazy engine. So
that's really cool. Like that. Did he race it?
I don't think he raced it. He was pretty much a Porsche man. So okay. Up at Lime Rock, up in Connecticut, you know, he did a lot of stuff up there with Porsches.
How cool.
Yeah, so
a lot of people want to get into all the stuff that you teach, you know, video production, film, all that stuff, but a lot of people are technology challenged, or they feel like they're technology challenged. How do you help those people?
So let me tell you my story at McGraw-Hill. All right. So I left the Archdiocese thinking that I had a full time at McGraw-Hill Publications. So I showed up for my first day and they said, "Welcome." I said, "What paperwork do I need to fill out?" And they said, "Oh, no, you're not filling out paperwork." And I said, "Well, what would I do about my benefits and everything else?" And they said, No. "You've been hired as a temp." And I said, "I'm hired as a temp."
Geez.
I said, "I just left a full-time job with benefits." And they said, No. "You're going to work with these four people. And then at the end of that temp time, we're going to hire one person, you know, for the job." And I'm like, "All right, well, that's not the way I understood it, you know." So, but I played it cool, and I should have maybe gone to ESPN, but I ended up at McGraw-Hill. So I did McGraw-Hill.
Wow.
And I remember sitting there. We all had Mac computers. And at the time, I didn't know a Mac. I didn't really even know computers because I came from the Archdiocese and things were still analog. And so we were moving into this world with Deck, if anybody remembers Deck in the day on Macs, the beginning parts of Pro Tools, you know, a bunch of different stuff. And I didn't know it. And here I am at my temp job, you know, working with these computer geeks, nerds that were, you know, kind of working on their computers and just going crazy fast. And I remember, all right, you know, here I am, you know, so there's a guy to the left of me and there's a guy to the right of me. And I'm just sitting there, I'm watching what he's doing, and I'm copying him, and I watch what he does and I copy him. And I'm just trying to make my way through. And I'm sitting there typing, doing my stuff. Watching, copy.
You became their, they became your ChatGPT.
Yeah. So basically what I did was after I, after the day would end, everybody would leave, and I just stayed there until 2 o'clock, just muscle memory. So here I am, a tech that's not tech savvy in the world that I'm getting into. And I just put in the time. And so that's what students need to do is they need, you know, if somebody wants to be a shooter, you can be a shooter. You know, it's just, you gotta just shoot. If you want to be an editor, but you got to edit. You know, you can't expect this to, you know, our course is based on, you know, 8 weeks, 16 weeks. And again, we'll give you the foundation, but it's going to be those jobs. It's going to be you that's got to put in the passion, the work ethic, the time to get this stuff done. And before I left McGraw, that temp position at McGraw-Hill, I not only had one computer on my table doing work because CPUs were a lot slower back then, I actually had three computers going, and I blew them out of the water and I got the full-time job. But it took work. It took devotion. It took time. And, you know, you can't beat that into somebody today. You know, you either got it or you don't have it, you know. Either you got the work ethic and you got the passion, and that's what's going to drive you to do what you need to do to be successful at anything you do. When I worked at Wendy's and making burgers, you know, I always pace myself to see if I could do it better. You know, that's just the way I've been in life. You know, how can I do this job? How can I do it better? Can AI do it better for me? I don't know. Sorry, I just wanted to bring it all back. Full circle.
Totally be good with that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So here we are.
100%.
30 years. Here we are today. We got AI for everything, potentially AI for everything. And some people are scared of it. They think it's going to take over the world. Other people think it's going to I'm among the other camp that actually thinks it's going to enhance the world the way the internet did, probably.
Yeah.
But it probably does need, I think it does need to be regulated. And I think that was the biggest mistake we made with the regular internet, is just allowing anything goes. What are your thoughts on that?
It doesn't matter. You regulate it, do whatever you want to do to it. There's going to be good and bad with it. You know, it's just the way the world is. And unfortunately there's thing, you know, devil and the angel, and that's always going to be in life. I mean, you know, you put something out and people are going to do good with it and people are going to do bad with it. And,
true.
To each his own, you know. So unfortunately, there's evil in the world, and what are you going to do? I can do is just go through the day and hold the door open for somebody and say, have a nice day. I mean, I try and lead by example and be a good person. You know, just hope more people follow that suit than slamming the door in somebody's face.
Jim Robinson, president of the CSB Media Arts Center, formerly Connecticut School of Broadcasting. We want to thank you for joining us this morning.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Y'all have a great day. And
you guys have a fantastic day.
What do you got? Two? All right. I'm 5-2. We'll come back and do this again and see if John can win.
It's very competitive.
My God. I was thinking that was the score. That's great. That's great. All right. Thank you.
Thank you for your time and listening to Arbeats.com boutique streaming service, home of #localmusicsomewhere. Check back regularly for podcasts, artist interviews, and more.